our plans to talk about Bogdan Bogdanovich for 45 minutes on Brightside After Dark Episode 2 have been thwarted. Screw off, Adrian Wojnarowski. I don't like you anymore. Actually, I never really liked you, but that's besides the point. I'm Brian Gibberman here with Scott Howard, also ridiculous, and Sreeker. I'm just going to point out how ridiculous that is at the beginning of every podcast.
Actually, can you get Sreeker's last name right this time? I mean, he changed it since the last podcast. It's true.
I have to look it up on... Give me a second.
I'm a new man. It's literally the same name and add a bitch at the end.
I want to see the spelling of it, though.
Srikarovich.
There we go. You got it. I can't even bring it up on Twitter.
Sreeker Srikarovich.
There you go.
Very important name.
Scott's got it.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. Honestly, if anybody's listening in right now, I will tell them that this promises to be the sexiest podcast we've ever done. It's at worst going to be top two.
Yeah.
Luckily, people cannot see the pictures that we see of each other when we're taping it.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
Unfortunately for them.
It's still 1:10 and I'm still hungover from last night.
I went on a World Cup pub crawl yesterday, so I was kind of done by about 10:30 last night. So I'm fresh right now. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to drop some witty bombs on people, make some jokes.
Yeah.
Let's have some fun.
I know. And like Brian said, I was going to talk, literally just going to say Bogdan Bogdanovich 45 minutes straight, but fucking LeBron James had to ruin it, as always.
So that means you don't want him on the team. Damn it, we stepped on each other already. Does that mean you don't want him on the team since he ruined your Bogdan Bogdanovich podcast?
Nah, I mean, I could make an exception, I guess.
But is he better than Bogdan Bogdanovich? Do we know that LeBron James is a better basketball player than Bogdan Bogdanovich?
No one knows.
We don't. Exactly. We don't know. We don't know.
Yeah.
All right, move us along, Gibby.
Jolly Ranchers.
Oh, Jolly Ranchers. So, I'm surprised as many people listened to the podcast as they did. I'm very excited about that. I was a little surprised at how well received it was. So, if you listened all the way to the end of the podcast, I made an offer in which I claimed that if you direct message me your address, I would send you a handwritten note and some Jolly Ranchers. Now, the thing about the internet is a lot of people don't want to mail or send their home address to some fucking weirdo on the internet. Weird, I thought so too.
And someone but especially couple, named Scott Howard.
Especially someone with an obvious pseudonym. And so a few people, actually four different people, did do it. And it's four people I've kind of interacted with over the years on Twitter. So they were kind of like at least relatively safe. I wouldn't murder them. And then so I sent them letters and I sent them different like random things I could find in my house. Because as you are probably not surprised at all to learn, I have a bunch of random son's crap in my house. So I just wanted to take a moment to kind of read one of the letters that I had sent to one of our just great readers, listeners. God, I just cannot say things right. So this one is to Tyler Nickel, and I just wanted to read this to you guys. Dear Tyler, I wanted to personally thank you for having the guts to send me your address. I know you hesitated at first, but I think this was the right move. I'd list Gibby as a character reference, but I think that would only hurt me. What I also wanted to thank you for is listening to the hit new podcast, Brightside After Dark. Now, as you eloquently put it, it sounds like we recorded it with a dishwasher. But with your generous support, I feel like we can sound like we're being recorded with even better home appliances. Maybe a washer dryer, but one of those fancy ones. I briefly debated cutting out letters from magazines for this letter, but instead, here's a Kenny Battle rookie card, the watermelon Jolly Ranchers you wanted, and the roster page from a Suns Hornets game from 2009. I've taken the liberty of highlighting Taylor Griffin so you won't miss it. Hooray Sports, Scott Howard. And that's the kind of thing you get when you listen to the Brightside After Dark podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
And it should be noted that
I sent Jolly Ranchers out, and I still have two letters left to send because our fearless leader Dave King DM'd me his address yesterday. I think he just wants a handwriting sample at this point, so I guess we'll see how that shakes out.
Are we going to Jason? We could Jason Kidd him.
We should Jason Kidd him. The Russians are done with Dave.
That headline. No. I think it's important to point out to our listeners that everyone who did direct message Scott their address is still alive and is actually
right.
Jolly Ranchers.
That's so, right. I mean, We haven't heard from Alex Skinner on Twitter yet, but I can confirm I didn't kill him. Yes. I can confirm that. Yeah, did not do that. Did not leave the state to kill somebody. All right, enough about murder.
Hold on. The Jolly Ranchers were only the second most important thing that came out of the first podcast. The first most important thing was that Ish Smith said happy birthday to Scott also.
He did. Shrieker.
Yes, he did. Actually, he did it fairly quickly, too. The next day after the podcast, I decided to follow through on my heartfelt promise to Scott and tweeted at Ish Smith and told him how much of a fan Scott Howard is and asked him to give him a shout-out to his biggest fan on his birthday, which was a week before that, but Ish does not know that and doesn't need to.
No, he doesn't need to.
And he did, fairly quickly. He said, happy birthday, bro.
Because Ish is a prince amongst men.
Yes, he is. And we were very elated at Ish Smith reaching out to Scott Howard to do that. And we decided that from now onwards, every time we have a podcast, so every week, I'm going to pick some role player in the NBA and try to tweet at them.
Well, why are we limiting ourselves? It can be anyone.
Now, we'll work ourselves up. I mean, and we started with Ish Smith, so we can only go downhill from there. But I'm just going to tweet at random players in the NBA to get them to wish Scott Howard happy birthday every week until it's his actual birthday, and I won't do it then.
And the weekly birthday.
Yeah, so today, obviously, this is an obvious choice. We were going to go with
No, save it. That can be used next week. We don't need to review it.
We were going to go with a certain player that Gibby's in love with, but instead we're going with Bogdan Bogdanovic, the Suns' newest superstar. And again, Bogdan Bogdanovic is a fantastic player, and Bogdan Bogdanovic is, as you all know, was a 27th pick in the 2014 NBA draft, and Bogdan Bogdanovic is also on Twitter, so I have to reach out to him to get him to wish Scott happy birthday.
Does he type in English on Twitter?
He does not. So if we get a Serbian happy birthday shout out to Scott Howard, that would take us to another level.
Do we just quit after that?
To be fair, I changed my name on Twitter to Streaker Srikarovic, as we were talking about, and the Suns tweeted out something about Bogdan, and they didn't put the accent mark on his C, and I told them that they need to spell his name correctly, and he favorited that tweet.
Also, we know he pays attention and interacts.
Yes. And he understands English.
Okay, good. All right, so we got a lead here. Sounds like it's going to happen again. We better be 2-for-2. All right, let's talk about real things. Wojnarowski wrote about how the Suns are making a play for LeBron and Melo. I thought it was a little weird how quiet it had been surrounding the Suns based on their cap situation. Let's just establish that this is a completely ridiculous notion. LeBron, Bosch, and Wade are all opting out. They had a meeting to discuss how much money each of them are going to get paid, so none of them are coming to the Phoenix Suns. There we go.
I would be shocked if any of them even left Miami. Exactly. I mean, it's an obvious pipe dream, but it's one of those things where it's a Sunday in June. It's kind of just fun to talk about, BS about.
Yeah, it is an absolute pipe dream, but just the fact that the Suns are even planning to do that a year after, we still had Michael Beasley on the team. It's kind of cool. So I guess that's fun to talk about. But I think the chances of LeBron coming to Phoenix went from 1% to maybe 3%. So
I'll take it.
Yeah, right?
I'm just glad to know that the Suns are concentrating on trying to deliver my championship that I was promised.
Yes. Yes, nice. Now we have Bogdan and LeBron to deliver your championships.
I'd like to point out that the Carmelo Anthony is the more important part than LeBron James.
Okay, so it goes Bogdan, Melo, LeBron?
Yeah, that's how we're doing the... that's our totem pole.
We are going to ram Bogdan Bogdanovic down people's throats, whether they like it or not.
We might as well rename the podcast.
The Bogdan Hour?
Dark.
Bright Side after Bogdan.
Yes. There was no bright side before Bogdan. There was no life before Bogdan.
There was no life before Bogdan. I think that should be the Bright Side After Dark subtitle. There was no life before Bogdan.
Yes.
We were discussing it before. We were discussing this a little bit on Twitter, but the mechanics of how to make something like that happen are a little more complicated than it was made in the actual story. The Suns have to get rid of significant amounts of salary for it to happen. And as Streaker rightly pointed out, it won't be hard to do something like that, which I argued against a little bit, but understood I was wrong. But I think the entire situation is very complicated. And one thing we didn't discuss, if someone signs Bledsoe and he isn't willing to play the game with them, the whole thing blows up in smoke anyway.
Yeah.
Yep. For me, this is like talking about what color you're going to paint the house before you build the thing. I mean, if they want to figure it out, they'll find a way to figure it out. I mean, that's just where I stand on it. You guys can analyze it more if you want, but that's what I got.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the obvious first step is to get that meeting with LeBron and then obviously Melo and then see where they're at. And even if it's a possibility, then you work it out with Bledsoe. Because I would think that if Bledsoe's going to get his max, he would be willing to wait a few days if he gets to play with LeBron James, right? So
sure.
I would think that if that's even a possibility, he would entertain it. And so would LeBron, since they're, you know, best friends.
Forever.
Best friends. Yeah. It's just the first step is to find out if it's even a possibility, and then the rest can be worked out, whether trading away players, getting the cap space that's needed. Since the Suns have a bunch of, you know, pretty cheap contracts, young guys, they can send out, and they even have picks to package them with if they really needed to. So that's secondary.
It just doesn't seem to make much sense for them to leave the Eastern Conference to go to the Western Conference, even though those two would probably make the Suns a better team and they'd compete. It's almost like if those guys stay in the East with lesser teams, it gives them a better chance of getting where they want to go.
And they can rest during the regular season. I mean, look how many games they played Dwayne Wade this year. They can sit LeBron certain times. I mean, you can't do that in the Western Conference. You can't just sit your best players for significant periods of time.
Unless you're the San Antonio Spurs.
Oh, yeah, unless you have, like, 14 awesome players.
Yeah. But, I agree. I don't think they're leaving Miami, especially after Wade opted out. That was, I think, key. I think they're all just going to re-sign there. But it's fun to, you know, think about, like Scott said, on a Sunday in the end of June.
All right, draft picks. The draft did happen. At 14, they took NC State's TJ Warren. Scott, did I talk you into it yet, or are you still against it?
You did an okay job. So Gibby and I watched the draft together. And when they got to 14, after Minnesota took Zach LaVine, I was just pumped about Gary Harris. I just wanted Gary Harris. I like people that, like, fall in the draft, so I was into that. And then they said TJ Warren, and I think the first things that came out of my mouth were, what separates him from Marcus Morris? And so Gibby was kind of trying to talk me out of that. But, I mean, the way I'm looking at it, he's a big college scorer who doesn't necessarily have elite athleticism. He's not necessarily doesn't necessarily have a position. He's not a terribly good three-point shooter, so I don't know. I mean, Gibby tried to talk me into it a little bit. Why don't you do that now for everybody else, Gibby?
Well, first, then they showed his numbers that were better than Tim Duncan, and you realized he was better than Tim Duncan. We were kind of okay with it.
That's true. They showed he scored more points in the ACC than Tim Duncan, and so I just announced, well, he's better than Tim Duncan. Yeah. And then I just walked out.
Drop mic, done. All right.
Tomorrow.
Why I like TJ Warren. The Suns were a team that in the half court, you had pretty much Dragic and Markieff were the two guys that, and Bledsoe also, but he wasn't, I'd say he wasn't as good as this, as creating their own shot. And what you have in Warren is someone who's very good moving without the ball, and he diversifies your offense. He can get shots in many different areas, and while maybe they're not what would be considered the most efficient places to take shots, when you're getting, we saw this with Houston in the playoffs, you can't just do the threes and layups in the playoffs. You have to have the ability to do different things and diversify your offense. And I think having someone like Warren, who with his 6'10 wingspan, if he can actually play small forward and defend small forwards, could be very useful getting off those awkward, weird shots against the smaller defenders instead of going up against fours.
Yeah.
See, look at you with your logic.
Yeah, but exactly. When they draft, I actually wanted Gary Harris too, but I mean, I understood the Warren pick at the time, and then over the next few days following the draft, I, you know, understood it more, and I think it makes sense. Like, I think he's definitely a small forward in the NBA, especially based on what, you know, the concerns with it were with it on the defensive side, but especially based on what everyone in the Suns I guess, front office has been saying about how well he performed defensively, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, that could just be talk, but I can see it, though. I think he's definitely a small forward who can play spot minutes at the four when the Suns go, you know, with their small lineups with Markieff at center, or I guess, you know, LeBron at center next year. But, yeah, no, but again, I think shooting, the weaknesses that he has average athleticism. That's never going to improve. That's fine, I guess. But
he could put like some sort of booster in his sneaker, make it better.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Yeah,
we can flubber it.
That's what the Suns' training staff probably does anyway. Shit, that's why LeBron should come. So, all right, everything goes back to Bogdan or LeBron.
All right, so let's not rule out the improvement of athleticism.
We're not ruling that out. I like that. So basically, you guys are warning me that he might be a good player.
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of like him.
But your skepticism is a little warranted.
Yeah.
Alley-oop. Anyway.
All right, so we're talking about Tyler Ennis now?
Yeah, sure. Why not? He was.
I have almost no thoughts on Tyler Ennis. So you guys go ahead.
You can go first, Streaker.
No. I literally have none.
That's why I said Streaker, not Scott.
Sorry.
They sound the same, Scott and Streaker.
Same name.
They both start with an S.
I wanted Gary Harris at 18. I still think they should have taken Gary Harris, especially at 18. But again, I have come around to understanding why they picked Tyler Ennis. I think he's going to be he's going to be a good backup point guard. The Suns, I guess, needed someone on the bench other than, you know, undersized point guards who give birthday shout outs to fans. But, I guess Tyler Ennis helps them in the sense that they have they have depth on the bench now with Warren and the Morris twins, et cetera, Gerald Green. And Ennis can set them up. I think he's good enough as a backup point guard. I don't know if he's going to come in right away and do this. I think he'll spend a lot of time in the D League. The thing that I go back to is with Archie Goodwin on the bench, too, and he's probably going to need some more minutes this year than he played last year. I don't think Ennis is going to play all that much. I think he'll probably play as much as Archie did in his rookie year. Looking at his future, I think he's insurance at the point guard position. And the Suns also, I think Kornacek talked about this, but running a two dual point guard lineup, I guess they do need the depth behind them. And I think Brian, Gibby, you said this a bunch before, but like when Dragic goes to the bench, you know, and Bledsoe's healthy and he's playing, even then, like the half court offense just goes to shit. But I think just having another point guard to help set up people will help them, but I don't know what he projects to be, you know, 5 years from now. I have no idea. I don't think he has that high of a ceiling, but I don't know.
I wish his name was Enos, not Ennis, so I could make really, really bad penis jokes all the time.
Sure. That's the kind of analysis you get on Brightside After Dark. Yeah. That's I'm pretty sure all you have to say about him. Right?
Well, you made my point for me.
So he was like, I gotta make another point. What is it gonna be? It's gonna be how close his name sounds like to penis. Which was a wonderful move.
See, if his name sounded more, if his name was Enos, like Gibby was just saying, I'm sure he would have been drafted in the lottery, though. So this ain't fine. Not really.
Last week, fellatio. This week, penis. I'm not gonna be on this podcast much longer.
I mean, I think Dave's going to keep letting us run it. I think because it's so fucking weird. So I think that's what we have going for us.
Oh, God.
Our weird powers combined, people will for some reason listen.
All right. Bogdan Bogdanovic. We've joked about him a lot, but I actually spent way too much time watching film on him. And the dude could actually play.
Yeah.
It really looks like it.
His three-point range is incredible. Pretty incredible. He can shoot from pretty freaking deep. And what I really like is he's a threat to shoot off the dribble, off screens, and in catch and shoot situations, which is also a way to help diversify the offense. Because outside of Gerald Green, I don't really know if they have anyone on the roster that kind of comes off screens and shoots off the catch like that. And since you couldn't get Stauskas, he's not as good off the dribble as Stauskas, but this was a nice way to get someone who could kind of replicate some of the things exactly. he could do at the 27th pick.
And he's got a hell of a quick release, too.
Yeah, he has a very quick release. And I was going to say that exact thing. Like, we all wanted Stauskas. I mean, obviously he went at number 8, which is way higher than, which was higher than all of us thought he would, but...
Because King's going to king.
Yeah, he
made sense for them. I didn't have a problem with that pick.
It does, but I don't know what they're going to do with McLemore.
McLemore's not good.
I know he's not good. I know it's not
that
good.
That might be a bit of a problem.
Yeah, but anyway. No, he's kind of a... I guess Bogdan is almost like a poor man's Nick Stauskas, I guess. It, you know, within the realm of this draft. But I did notice some similarities there. I was also surprised. I didn't know he had... His wingspan is what, like 6'11", Bogdan? So he has really good size for a shooting guard. He's 6'6 with a 6'11 wingspan. Watching a lot of his lot of tape on him over the last few days, and like he likes showboats a lot, which is something I kind of like about him. He has that. Like, is this going to be two straight podcasts where we use the term swag? It is
swag.
So he has that. He carries that with him.
Scott, you're not allowed to like people who showboat. You hate that.
Actually, I was just about to bring that up. Like, you and I in our constant, ever-loving debate about showboating, because you love people that showboat.
I enjoy rooting for dickheads.
Your favorite thing.
Yes, I like rooting for assholes and dickheads and pricks.
Gibby and I have this thing where, like, pretty much if I hate an athlete, I'm very sure he will absolutely love him. It just doesn't matter. He's a big Yasiel Puig fan, big Colin Kaepernick guy. That's two guys I just cannot stand.
I just kissed my bicep.
I know you did. I know
you kissed your bicep, the gun holster thing that Westbrook does.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he loves Russ. And as anyone who's listening to this knows, no NBA player infuriates me more than Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is the worst thing ever.
I hit a bunch of twos playing pickup ball this weekend. I almost did the gun holster thing myself, but I decided against it.
You should twos.
Yeah, two. You're playing pickup. It's ones and twos.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I haven't played pickup in a while. I don't know the street lingo like you do. My apologies.
All right, that's enough draft talk. Let's do... we're going to bring in a little bit more of a national flavor for our draft talk. We're going to do draft superlatives.
Yes, we are.
Did anyone prepare for this, or are we all just winging it like I am, looking at a draft list as we go?
Yeah, I didn't prepare. I didn't look at the
yeah, that's what I have ESPN's draft tracker up next to me, so as we say these... I can figure out who we're picking, and I'm going to go last on all of them so I can cheat and luck.
Well, no, I'm going to read them out, so let me go
Wait,
last.
No, I'm going. I called them. We can rotate. All right, we'll rotate. Okay. All right, let's start with – let's do a serious one first. Most likely to make first-team All-NBA. Scott, go.
I kind of thought about Parker. I just don't think Parker's ever going to be first-team style, though. So I guess and when you asked this question, I kind of realized that – maybe this draft doesn't have as many top-level superstars as I thought, so I guess I'll go Andrew Wiggins, because he's got the elite athleticism, and it seems like he'd be a good two-way player.
I don't know.
I went with a real safe pick there.
You got to be able to dribble, though.
Yeah. Okay, we're projecting over their careers. No one's making All-NBA first team in their rookie year, but...
You say so. I disagree.
All right, Stauskas made... Okay, Bogdanovich, even though he's going to play in Europe, it's going to make All-NBA for his team. We know
this year.
This year, yep. Every year. I'm going to go with Embiid. Just because, as Scott said, I don't think there's anyone really like that's going to be one of the five best players in the NBA throughout their career. But I think Embiid has the highest chance to if he's healthy enough, just because the center position is so weak in the NBA. So... And I don't know. I really like Embiid, but I hope he stays healthy for Philadelphia's sake. But
don't they do all NBA 3 forwards, 2 guards?
They do center. That's why
they do center. Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, All Star is 3 forwards now.
That's right.
Yeah,
I echo Streaker's comments. I think Embiid has the best chance out of all those guys. All right.
What about when the foot falls off? Is he still going to be able to make it?
What was that?
When his foot falls off, is he still going to be able to make it?
Well, I don't think how many feet you have is qualification for making first-team All-NBA.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think we already established that we can that current medicine allows someone to elevate their athleticism immediately. So I think we can add a foot or two if we really needed to.
Sure, so he's going to have 3 feet, and that's going to help him make first-team All-NBA.
Yep.
Brilliant. All right, next question.
Oh, Streaker, I'm doing them all. Okay, fine.
Yeah, you are.
Okay, most likely to be seen partying in... Most likely to be seen partying with Johnny Manziel in Las Vegas. Streaker, you can go first.
This one. Doug McDermott. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to go with Nick Stauskas.
Orlando did ask him about partying with Justin Bieber.
Yeah, he's a Bieber fan.
Scott, what do you got?
Give me Zach LaVine. I'll take Zach LaVine. He looks like he knows how to party.
Fuck me.
He's going to be in Minnesota. He looks like he knows how to party.
When his name was announced, things go. He was partying really hard.
Yeah,
so for almost no reason, I'll take Zach LaVine.
I'm going to go with James Young. He was at a Nets game. He was seen courtside with Rihanna, so that has Vegas written all over
it. And there's a picture of him staring at Rihanna, like, that's just looking away. It's really funny.
Yeah, so I'll go there. All right, most likely to channel Swaggy P through a premature celebration.
Ooh. You know what? I'm gonna take Marcus Smart there. Yeah, I watched enough Marcus Smart at Oklahoma State to really just grow to despise him. I went to Kansas State, so I'm a Kansas State fan, so I watch a lot of Big 12 basketball. And Marcus Smart flops like you wouldn't believe. So I'm just going to go ahead and just assume that means he will also just brag preemptively on something. So, yeah, give me Marcus Smart there.
I'll go second here. I'll go Nick Stauskas. That dude is one cocky fuck, and I can 100% see him turning around right after shooting a shot thinking it goes in.
Yep. I'm going to go with Bogdan Bogdanovich, my boy. Because surprisingly, I thought about going with Bogdan for literally every single one of these, but this one I actually think I'm going to go with Bogdan on. Because again, he has that, he's cocky. He looks like he's cocky, and I hope we see that in a Suns uniform, him celebrating the shot prematurely.
Most.
No, we're up 15 at the time. Were they smoking the Knicks when Swaggy P did that, Gibby?
Was that in the Nick game?
I think they were smoking the Knicks.
That game was such a disgusting... we're not going to talk about that game. I hope it wasn't that game. All right, most likely to get traded during their rookie year.
Is Rick Pitino still someone's head coach?
Kentucky.
Well, no, he's actually not Kentucky's coach, but...
Oh, Louisville, same thing. It's in the same stupid state.
I'm thinking as Chauncey Billups was traded during the middle of his rookie year by a very impatient Rick Pitino.
Well, yeah, I'd be impatient and angry also if I was supposed to get Tim Duncan and I'd end.
You know, I'm going to take James Young here. I think Boston's going to look to make some moves, so I think James Young will get traded during his rookie year.
I'm going to go TJ Warren because the Suns are freeing up cap space for LeBron.
Yeah, I was going to go with Tyler Ennis for the same reason.
Are they going to get the 20-year-old that's 2 years away from 2 years away from being ready so they can stash him?
The Brazilian Kevin Durant?
Yes.
Bruno Caboclo?
Yeah,
Caboclo?
I have no idea.
I'm looking at the list.
Brunovic.
Everyone should be Brunovic.
No, but yeah, that thing. Yeah, my answer to that question was Tyler Ennis for the same reason that Kimmy just gave. But yeah, that would... But that was Masai. Like, everyone was just literally just who when Toronto made their pick. But Masai is just either trolling everyone or just is a genius.
If you're a Raptors fan and you're sitting there watching the draft and Fran Fraschilla comes on and says, the guy you just picked 20th is 2 years away from being 2 years away. You're a Raptors fan. You've been through an awful lot. You just hang your head there. That's what I would have done.
Nah. Yeah, I'm
it's not like they picked him 57th, and he's 2 years away from being 2 years away.
To be fair, people said Giannis Antetokounmpo, whatever, was a few years away, and he kind of tailed off towards the end of the year, but he still was pretty solid. That way better than most people thought he would be in his rookie year, and he's super young. So I don't know. Maybe this guy can actually be the Brazilian Kevin Durant.
And the Knicks got his brother, so we're the winners of the draft. That's how it works.
You got some guy named Klay Anthony. and you got the Giannis's brother. You win. You win the draft.
Yes, we did. Exactly. All right. Most likely to get catfished, a la Paul George.
Oh, that's a good question too. Let's
see. I'm going with James Young here for reasons that we talked about earlier about James Young being a partier and whatnot. But
I think Dante Exum is getting catfished.
Damn it! That's the one I was going with.
Australian kid. He's coming in.
Oh, I was just saying, damn it, I agreed with you. I wasn't meaning to cut you off. You could keep talking.
Yeah, how dare you. So Dante Exum, you know, he's an Australian guy coming over to the States. I mean, he's just kind of, he's priming to be catfish. Sorry, Dante. I hope it's not weird for you. Especially in Utah, he's going to be, like, checking his, like, Twitter and Instagram, like, all night. And, like, girls going to be blowing him up. And he's going to be bored as hell because he lives in Salt Lake City. So I think that's probably going to happen. Sorry.
And then hopefully the girls who's blowing him up has, like, six different husbands.
she almost certainly will.
And I agree with Scott on that one. Most likely to have a post-MBA career as a serious actor.
Can I go with Joel Embiid here for, like, comic purposes? He's going to be in, like, My Giant 2 or something like that. Because he's got that awesome voice. It's kind of like, it's very Hakeem-ish. So I think that he might be, like, the comic relief in, like, some movies. And if Billy Crystal is still alive when Joel Embiid retires, maybe they will get that My Giant 2 thing going.
I'm going to go with... Damn. I'm going to go with Julius Randle.
The LA.
Yeah, because, well, I don't know. I just think he would probably... I think he's likeliest to pursue a post-basketball career in... media or in Hollywood, and he's in LA, so that kind of is a cop-out answer. But yeah, Julius Randle.
I'm gonna go Mitch McGarry because he's gonna star in Thunderstruck 2 with Kevin Durant.
Is he the one that's got Kevin Durant's abilities?
And then he's still not that good. he's a middling role player after he steals Kevin Durant's abilities.
Have you guys actually seen this movie?
No, I have not.
Thunderstruck, no.
It's on Netflix, though, so I think we might need to screen it. A Bright Side After Dark viewing of Thunderstruck.
Can we get Mighty Ducks before we go to our second screening, please? We still have one screening. One screening at a time. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. All right, time for the rant of the week.
We're going straight up rant of the week. Okay, so, Stringer, you want to start us off, or you want me to start us off here?
Yeah, I'll
think we're ranting about the same thing.
I'll lead you in.
Okay.
All right. So Rob Sarver, owner of the Suns, recently made some comments where he said he wants to actually spend above and beyond the cap to put together a team that can compete this upcoming season. And Sarver, as most people know, has this reputation of being somewhat of a cheapskate due to selling some picks when the Suns were during the 7 seconds or less era with Steve Nash. With the Joe Johnson thing, where he let Joe Johnson go because he got a big contract from the Hawks, couple other things like that. But I think we all feel that reputation is highly exaggerated and a little overplayed. Not a little; it's extremely overplayed. And so when Dave put together this really, really great article, actually on Brightside,
kiss a little more ass.
Sorry,
kiss some more ass.
All right, Dave sucks, but he put together this pretty cool. anyway, it's basically highlighting what Sarver said and what he's done in the past, et cetera, et cetera. And there were some comments, I think, even before that about how Sarver is a cheapskate and, like, it's the same old stuff, basically, over and over again. And even now, and I think especially now, it's highlighted a lot because with the LeBron James Carmelo rumors, some people have just been reading on Twitter and online in the comments. People are just like, yeah, but the owner of the Suns, there's no way. Blah, 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 they're never going to compete, et cetera. And I hate that. Like, Sarver has done so much to actually improve from, I guess, and he said this himself. And I think Scott can elaborate on why it's just such an overplayed card.
Because they're lame 2008 talking points. And if these are the points you're still making, in 2014, you haven't been paying a damn bit of attention. That's basically what I want people to tell you. So basically, they sold a few draft picks who Mike D'Antonio wasn't going to play anyway. They traded away Kurt Thomas and packaged, I think, two draft picks to get rid of him, so they didn't have to pay $16 million. And then he had some things went sideways with Joe Johnson where he lowballed him a little bit, and that was in 2005. So basically, nothing that people can point to for Robert Sarver being cheap is still a relevant fact today. I mean, if you want to point at Amare, just look at the fact that Brian Giberman still has him on his team, and he's just like a worthless, washed-up piece of crap. But so beyond that, I mean, Robert Sarver has been willing to spend money. The guy paid 5 years, $33 million to get Josh Childress out of Greece, and then paid Josh Childress to go away because he was so freaking bad. The guy is willing to spend money, and I think if there's a team out there that he can build that is going to actually compete for a title, and I mean, you know, if you somehow land a meeting with LeBron James and LeBron James wants XYZ, I really feel like Robert Sarver will give him XYZ, and I think that these talking points just need to die, and I think Dave did a fantastic job of doing it when that piece he wrote the other day, and I think that's just reality at this point. I mean, if you want to, like, drop hackneyed stuff like, oh, you know, he's so cheap, yada, 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 then, like, Google a little bit. Like, actually use the internet that you're on. I can't do it for you. That's basically my rant.
Wojnarowski actually pointed out in his article that the Suns have paid the luxury tax three times recently. I forget what press conference it was. It was at the wrap-up end of the year one. I asked McDonough a couple questions off to the side, and one of them was, if it came down to it to build this team, would Sarver pay the luxury tax? And he told me he hasn't gotten to that point or asked him, but he did believe that Sarver would do that and wouldn't have a problem with it.
There's no reason not to believe that.
Yeah, and the draft pick thing gets brought up. I think the Kurt Thomas, you had one of them who turned into Serge Ibaka. Yep. One of them turned into Rondo and Luol Deng. So they made the process of transitioning this team harder than it needed to be once that 7 seconds or less team ended. But Sarver,
that was a Steve Nash thing.
Yeah, but Sarver also has very clearly learned from his mistakes. He now grasps the value of what draft picks are, or at least he listens to people who understand the value of what draft picks are. And there was one other point I wanted to make right here, but it's slipping out of my mind and I can't really remember it, so I'm just going to end my talking.
No, I think the biggest mistake Sarver has made in his tenure as owner is thinking that he can make basketball decisions.
I remember my point.
Oh, he knew Turkey Lou.
Yes. Summer of 2010 was his biggest mistake because, you know, letting Steve Kerr go and then signing, obviously letting Amari go, which is the right move, and then signing Josh Childress, like you brought up, Scott, Hedo Turkoglu, trading for Hedo Turkoglu, and Hakeem Warrick, and thinking they could replace them and keep the Suns in playoff contention. And he gave them a lot of money, all three of those guys, like long-term contracts. I think Warrick was the cheapest one, but still, that was
a four-year deal.
And I think he's learned from that, like Gibby said. He learned from it, and now he has people to do that for him. He's not trying to make the basketball decisions anymore, which is, I think, huge for this franchise, because now you have people like Brian McDonough, who's done a fantastic job so far, and I think he's a great GM. And he knows that, and Lon Bambi, who's done well with contracts and stuff. So that was his biggest mistake. And I think it's been said before, but the Suns were a top-10 spending team when Steve Nash was in his prime in the 7 seconds or less era, and I think that never gets brought up.
Gibby, you're dying to make a point here. Go ahead.
He made it. The summer of 2010, you couldn't even accuse him of being cheap with Amari because he went out and spent all that money afterwards. It was just he spent the money stupidly. He didn't do it smartly, so it ended up coming back to haunt them. So, just in general, the whole idea, and I've had arguments with people on Twitter about this also, the Sarver being cheap thing is something that no longer exists and shouldn't be a talking point. We shouldn't have to be doing this right here.
Agreed, but we are anyway.
Yep. All right, Scott, to wrap it up, what are we giving away? Yeah, we're wrapping. What are we giving
away? Okay, so we're going to wrap, and just like last time, I just want to make an offer to our loyal listeners. Just like, and again, you have to follow all of the rules. For all the people that commented in the comments for this podcast and then, like, went at me on Twitter and said they wanted various Jolly Ranchers, You have to DM me your address. I can't just send things into the abyss. But here's what I'm willing to send you. If you're going to DM me your address, I will send you a hand-drawn picture of me and you being friends and an early 90s basketball card of my choosing. Now, this is the offer I'm making to you. So if you DM me your address, again, hand-drawn picture, me and you being friends, and an early 90s basketball card, and that's it.
Do you draw stick figures or do you like real bodies?
I'm definitely not going to draw real bodies.
Can you somehow draw Taylor Griffin in there too?
It'll be me and you and Taylor Griffin being friends.
I figure Taylor Griffin is always in the background of everything you ever draw or write, so.
He's basically.
He's just on your stationery to begin with. You have Taylor stationery. Anyway.
He's my muse. I love him. Love you, T-Griff. Yeah, I hope you're listening.
So we have that, Brightside listeners, and yeah. I will try to get Bogdan Bogdanovich to wish you a very Bogdan Bogdanovich happy birthday.
Fantastic. All right, thanks, everybody.
All right, that's the goals for Brightside After Dark Podcast 2, and when we talk again next weekend, LeBron James will be on the Phoenix Suns, so that'll be fun. All right, that wraps things up. We'll be back next week.